responsibilities of members. And then I'm not exactly sure. I have a couple different ideas for the last week in September. And then our missions conference starts for the month of October. Probably going to be doing something on Thanksgiving, just a praise and worship type thing for the month of November. And then our Christmas series in December. So if you don't have a sheet, raise your hand. We'll get you one. You don't have any notes to take on this one. It's all filled in for you. But an important subject. A lot of people have no idea what a pastor does. We always get the old joke. I'm sure you've heard it. What do you do for the other 6 days of the week if you're a pastor? You know you work on Wednesdays when I was on Sundays. When I was a youth pastor, they said, what do you do on Sundays? All you do is work Wednesday night. So there's things that people probably don't realize that pastors do or should be doing. Not all pastors do all these things. And I hear some of them, I just wonder what they do. Because some of them don't fulfill the duties that I think they respond to the truth. So let's ask the Lord to bless our time. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the gift of music. We're singing that song of praise. Sing because there was not a whole lot of background music. Singing out loud, but we're just so thankful for the music and praises. Thank you for left heaven and born here to God. We're thankful, Lord, that we have this amazing love, and because of that, our chains can be gone. We can be set free from the bondage of sin. We're just so thankful for that. Thank you, Lord, for this time in our series, Lord, of looking at what it means to be a member of a church and what are some of the things that we go through, what are some of the things that we do here. Today, as we look at the duties of the pastor, that we have a good comprehension of really what our responsibilities are. Next week, we'll look at what the members' responsibilities are. Just help us to understand the role of the pastor, not to elevate him by any means, but to understand a little bit about what we deal with. Faithfully pray. Thank you for men who are standing in this morning in their own area. Lord, I appreciate you, Lord, for you to stand unashamedly on the books. So, everything that's on your paper, up on the screen, follow along. Again, if you have anything to fill out for this, but we can maybe look ahead at some verses. We're not going to look at very many verses. Just because of the time. The duties of a pastor. Page of people. Words used to describe the pastor's responsibilities. These are from the Greek. Koinon. It's a verb that appears 27 times in the New Testament. And it's translated shepherd. But you understand that's a small s, shepherd. Christ is the chief shepherd. He calls men under him to be the shepherd of the church. It means to rule, to tend. The key word is also translated pastor. Presbyterian, which means denomination Presbyterian, which brother involves ministry in that denomination. Presbyterian is an adjective usually translated as elder. It's used 29 times in the Galatians of the church. It indicates that the man is spiritually mature in character, not age. So none of us are old. It has nothing to do with the age of a man, physical age of a person. I know men who are in their 20s. I know pastors who are in their 80s and 90s. Billy Graham, I think, is 94. And not out serving like he once did, but I still get stuff on his email, on his Facebook page, that he still writes several times a week, encouraging.
And welcome back to Tech Horizon, where we are continuing our fascinating chat with Farnan, an impressive AI voice assistant.
Hello.
So, Farnan, what is the atmosphere of Jupiter?
Inquiries should be phrased, hey, Farnan, and Jupiter's atmosphere is mostly hornets.
Astonishing. All human knowledge at the tip of your tongue.
Five times. That doesn't sound right. But Safe Auto can give you a great car insurance quote in just 3 minutes. That could save you 25%. Glad someone's making sense.
It refers to the elders' ministry of oversight of the local body
hey,
of church.
Hey, Spotify listeners. Greg here, just stocking the shelves.
And I'm John, just manning the counter where you can play new fast play games from the Pennsylvania Lottery.
Like Sunny Money, with top prizes of $5,000.
Yep. Winning's never been faster.
Not faster than me clearing these shelves.
Dude, I hope you're even faster at restocking.
The men said
the pastor. Fast play. Play fast, win instantly. The Pennsylvania Lottery. Players must be 18 or older. Please play responsibly. Benefits older Pennsylvanians every day.
They looked at the elders, them being
why does Exxon and Mobil's Synergy gasoline have seven ingredients? Is it because seven is a lucky number? Or because there's seven wonders of the world. Or because one time I ate seven cheesesteaks. No, it's because seven is the precise number of ingredients engineered by a team of really, really smart scientists that helps you get better gas mileage. So mystery solved. ExxonMobil. Energy lives here.
Fuel economy claims are compared with gasoline and minimum government standards. Results will vary. ExxonMobil.com and Mobil.com for details.
The church was a New Testament item, the New Testament teaching. And it began in the book of Acts. So we know that there was no pastors back in the Old Testament. There were kings and there were prophets and a lot of different things that that they used for leadership. But pastors came around, obviously, in the New Testament. As we look at the duties, let me just say, I'm not sure how many that we have listed here. L, so what's that, 12? Some of these are fun. Some of these are quite easy to do. Others are very difficult and painful for the man of God to try and fulfill. But as I said, I know some who are very good at some of these, others who don't want anything to do with some of these. And as we go through these, I think you'll understand and can probably pick out as you look ahead the ones that are the most difficult already. But letter A is first thing is he's to teach. Feeding the flock means teaching the word of God. It makes the pastor a shepherd. He's to tend the flock. He's to his primary responsibility, I believe, is to prepare the believers to go out and do the work of the church. Pastors should not be doing everything. And one of the things we have here at Draper Baptist Church is people who step in and do the role of the ministry. But it's the pastor who is the one who is teaching the word of God. Pastor, teacher is one gift that's found in Ephesians. If you haven't taken that spiritual gift test, there's still some back there. Just because you have a gift of being a pastor teacher doesn't mean you're necessarily called to stand in the pulpit. Many more things that go into that. Being able to teach is one of the basic requirements. And letter B goes right along with that, to preach. And again, you can look up these verses, but that is proclaiming the Word of God publicly. Proclaiming the Word of God publicly. There's people who are gifted in teaching who are not called to preach. But a pastor is to do both. He's to teach publicly. He's to teach the people. But it's also to take the word of God and to preach it, proclaim it. That doesn't necessarily just mean always behind the. And I always used to get bugged with this. In our first church in Reading, they always called this the sacred desk. And when I was going through my ordination, I move around quite a bit. And in the Bible Fellowship Church, I just talked to a guy on email this week. Was in contact with him, something he knew that I was from this church in Reading. He said, I grew up on the Chance Park in Reading. And that was my senior pastor. And he was in a number of different churches. And a number of friends that we had in common. But I was the first youth pastor ever ordained by the Bible Fellowship. Turning all things green, so it is with you. When I was going through the ordination, they asked me. I had about 20 men with pastors in the Bible Fellowship denomination who I had to preach in front of and teach in front of. And I had to preach three different times. And as I moved around, one of the things, I still have the criticisms up in my file cabinet, that I did not stand behind the sacred desk, that I moved too much and I looked too comfortable, that I was too much of a youth pastor, that I did not stand behind the sacred desk, the pulpit. And I always thought that was so stupid. They basically told me that they asked me, before they ordained me, they said, why do you want to be ordained? And I said, well, I recognize it's man's recognition of God's call upon my life. And they said, that's great, but when are you going to become a real pastor? They wanted me to be a senior pastor. So that was in 1988, Cheryl, I think. And we left that denomination and went to New York and stayed in youth ministry for another 20 years. Because I felt I looked at these guys and I said, my call. Ministry is the same as any of yours. God's called me to work with kids, teens, college kids. He hasn't called me to stand up necessarily in front of a church and preach, but my call is the same. They didn't like that, but they have ordained three or four other youth pastors since then. But they had this idea that I had to stand, these more guys had to stand behind this pulpit in order to be a real pastor. So that's what I blew over here. I'm just a youth pastor again. People don't like that. That was that older mindset. But when they recognized that God had called me to ministry, didn't have the necessary to stand up behind the pulpit and preach. That I could do ministry. Letter C means to guard, or the responsibility is to guard. Both the flock and sound doctrine are to be guarded from error, doctrinally and morally. As a shepherd, close my heart, Christ is the chief shepherd. I trace the rainbow. We are called to work under Jesus Christ, obviously. We're never to be above him. You know, pastors sometimes, and I can share stories with you from family members who are dealing with some issues with a man who thinks he is the chief shepherd of the church. He's called. He's even, unfortunately, got the backing of his board as he is assuming a role that the pastor is not intended to be. And he's not guarding the church. Not ask to fly good doctrine because he's proclaiming some errors. I lay in dust, life's glory dead. And from the ground there blossoms. So if the pastor is not guarding life, that the church can be in terrible trouble. So that's one of our responsibilities. Letter D is to oversee or to rule. And I put this, you can underline it or circle it in your notes there. He is not the boss. He is not the boss. But it's his duty to see that churches run properly according to the Word of God. One of the things, when I first came here 9 years ago, I asked the board to meet. We met. I came in January. We had our first deacons meeting in February. And I called the guys and I said, we're going to be meeting every month. And they kind of looked at me and they said, we've never done that before. We only met in December. The pastor planned everything. The pastor did everything. All he did was have us approve the budget. If any of you remember that, when I first came, I said, that's not how it's going to be. I'm not going to do that. I don't want the responsibility. I don't want the responsibility just myself. I want to share the blame with you guys. If anything goes wrong, that's not how you say that. But that's a pastor who does all that stuff by himself is wrong. It's wrong biblically, and it's wrong before the Lord, I believe. He's not the boss. He is the shepherd. But he works with the board and the leadership of the church to make sure that things are done. I don't have the right just to make decisions of the Lord. I'm still accountable. I'm still responsible to the board. I am not the boss. No pastor is. And I think what leads to problems is when a pastor, when I referred to a few moments ago, my brother-in-law, when he begins to think he's the boss of the church, it's a serious trouble. Letter E is to exhort, is to urge or incite by biblical argument, advice, or appeal, and to admonish earnestly. Again, I'm to encourage you, I'm to exhort you. I am to try and help you see what the Word of God has for you. What is it saying to you personally? Try to make application when I teach. And that's all part of exhortation, is to me not necessarily, not when it says biblical arguments, not meaning that, you know, you really are trying to use the Word of God to establish it is the right. Right? So the first five there are the easy ones. As you probably could already imagine, the next two are quite difficult. And let's go one together. To rebuke means when necessary, he is to criticize, reprimand, or reprove sharply. This must be balanced with love. That's something that God has been trying to do over a number of years in my life and my ministry, and I believe he's getting there. But balancing correction with love sometimes is
Jesus,
difficult.
Jesus,
Unfortunately, Jesus, these two, Jesus, many pastors don't want to do it. I know pastors who neglect doing it. Unfortunately, this is one that I've had to do many times, ones that I've had to do many times. And we had a situation in my first church in Reading, and we dealt with it, and I was frustrated. I think we handled it properly, but I was just angry. And Pastor Hartman, who's gone home to be with the Lord, took me to this passage, and it's under letter G there, the 2 Timothy 2. Let me just read this to you. And I remember Pastor Hartman taking me in his office, and he said, Ron, he said, I just want to give you this passage that you can keep in mind in your future years of ministry. And it says this, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth. And they may escape the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. He's saying, Ron, he says, I can see, and he was right, I was in my early 20s, or my late 20s at that point. And he said, Ron, he said, I can see. He said, you need to be gentle. And he didn't, I don't remember saying this, but I know he knew that I was not being gentle there. And he said, nothing you say is going to change a person's heart. He read it again. That God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth. And then chapter 4, verse 2, it says, preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Unfortunately, as I said, this is something that I've had to do far too many times in my ministry. And I can tell you, I've been threatened to be punched, threatened to be sued, and been threatened to have people go to the board and have me fired. People don't like to be corrected. I want to give you two instances. One did not turn out as well. The other one turned out very well. But in our church in a morning a number of years ago, we had a young man. I was a youth pastor. We had a young man who had graduated from high school in June and was getting ready to go to a large Christian school in the fall. He got involved in a sinful practice over the summer that we were made aware of. A couple of teens came in and told me. Called him in, and he admitted it. What he was going for at the college required a little bit more intervention. So I went to Pastor Whitaker, who was a senior pastor, and we called this young man and his father into the office and sat them down and talked to them and told them, you know, we said, your son has admitted to this behavior. It's serious enough that it's going to require a little bit of intervention. He's going to be leaving us. We could do it, but he's going to a Christian college. And we knew the people who ran the ministry, the counseling ministry at the school. And we said, what our next step is, we've got to contact the college. This is going to require ongoing counseling. And the young man was fine with that, but the father just ran. We had known the father from the community before he'd been in our church about a year, year and a half. There was rumors of physical abuse in the family and amongst his daughters. He was a very, very rough man. He did not handle it well. His son was very gracious and was very good. The father jumped to his feet and started approaching Pastor Whitaker behind the desk. Pastor Whitaker was probably 60 or 62, and a smaller guy. And as this man approached him, I kind of ran over and got in front of him. I said, you need to reconsider what you're doing. He said, I'll hit you both. I'll take you both out. And I said, you need to reconsider what you're doing. I know I said some things that probably weren't appropriate as a pastor. I think something, as Pastor Whitaker teased me, I said something to the effect, I promise you I won't throw the first punch. But Number 2, 3, and 4, if necessary, will be mine. I was defending Pastor Whitaker. Whether it was the right thing or not to do, he sat down, and then he moved from physical attack to threatening to sue us if we pursued this course of action. And we said, we've got to do this. This is out of our hands now. The school that he's going to would need to know this, and they will supply the counseling. After he settled down, the son said, I'm fine with that. I'm great with that. We figured it was probably going to take about at least a semester, maybe a year. He'd have to meet with the counselors. By the end of that meeting, the father had settled down enough, but the son was very gracious. And he accepted it. So that didn't go real well from the father's standpoint, but it went well as far as the young man. One that went extremely well was a number of years ago. I was called by a friend of mine who worked in the family life ministry staff, and he told me all these things that was going on in family life. So I called Rick and Dick in, believing this guy completely. And I called Rick and Dick, and I said, can I meet with you guys? And they both were very gracious and said, certainly. So I went up and met in the office, and I presented everything that I had heard. And basically, I think I was pretty accusatory because I had no reason to doubt what this guy was telling me. And Rick and Dick were very nice as they talked to me, and they said, here's our side of the story. Completely different. And they gave me a number, a friend to call, my friends from the boss. And he said, Ron, talk to him. Don't listen to us. Talk to us. My friend and I had already planned to go meet together with Rick and Dick at the end of the week. So this is probably one Monday or Tuesday. And I called his former boss and I talked to him. So I was spending hours that week on the phone talking to people about this situation. We went to our family life ministry staff was in the office because it was a big, big problem. And Rick and Dick spoke first, and then my friend, who at this point thought that I was completely on his side, even though he knew, I told him, I said, I've got to call some people. And Rick and Dick gave me, and he was fine with that. When I called his boss, I think probably on Wednesday, he said, it's interesting. He was trying to call his old boss and be on his side. So anyway, long story, a little bit shorter in this case. This guy gave all his opinion and all his lies, and then I had to look in the eye and say, I've already talked to you. Your story is complete. Everything you told me was a lie. Rick and Dick, and this went well because this guy, I don't remember him crying, but I remember him hanging his head and looking at me. So I lied to you. And then he turned to Dick and said, can you get my resignation? And again, I was a little bit angry because he had lied to me. But Rick and Dick were so gracious. I remember Dick's name was saying, we'll accept your resignation, but he said, we want to help you. We want to help you. And they got him involved in some counseling and some different ministry. He said, told this young man, he said, I'm not concerned about what's happened in the past. He said, I'm concerned about your life tomorrow. Where are you going to be next year? That's what the result of rebuking and correcting needs to be. It's not just to deal with a situation in anger and have the person repent.
And welcome back to Tech Horizon, where we are continuing our fascinating chat with Farnan, an impressive AI voice assistant.
Hello.
So, Farnan, what is the atmosphere of Jupiter?
Inquiries should be phrased, hey, Farnan, and Jupiter's atmosphere is mostly hornets.
Astonishing. All human knowledge at the tip of your tongue.
That doesn't sound right. But Safe Auto can give you a great car insurance in just 3 minutes. That could save you 25%. Glad someone's making sense.
Behavior should be a model for others to follow.
Spotify listeners. Greg here, just stocking the shelves.
And I'm John, just manning the counter where you can play new Fast Play games from the Pennsylvania Lottery.
Like Sunny Money, with top prices of $5,000.
Yep, winning's never been faster.
Not faster than me clearing these shelves.
Dude, I hope you're even faster at restocking.
He will fail many times.
Fast Play. Play fast, win instantly. The Pennsylvania Lottery. Players must be 18 or older. Please play responsibly. Benefits older Pennsylvanians every day.
Patterned biblically.
The Home Depot has three do-it-yourself workshops in September. Come see what's in store, like how to properly wire and install a light fixture, how to upgrade your bath by installing a new toilet, or come explore the latest styles of wall tile and then learn how to install it yourself. It's never too late to learn a new thing, or two, or three. Register today for an upcoming do-it-yourself workshop near you, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing.
They could control our ministry in a sense. To be an example, letter I, to give. And again, he's not to live off the flock, but share his living with the flock. The church pays my salary. The church takes care of my housing. The church takes care of the health thing, package and retirement, which we use for taxes because they're so heavy. But we share. We don't just take. We tithe. We give back to the church. We support missionaries. He needs to give. To evangelize, letter J, he must have a passion and concern for the lost. To see them come to Christ. Turn your sheet over is to equip. His task is to train others for the work of the ministry. And by the way, I should never ask you to do something that I'm not willing to do. If I ask you to go out and share with people in the gospel, I should be leading the way. If I say we should be evangelizing, I should be not only doing the teaching, training how to do that, but leading the way and showing you how I do it. The final one is to be accountable. And I believe this is where a lot of pastors lose their power. He's in danger if he tries to do the ministry alone. He must have others he is responsible to. Hold him accountable for his thoughts and actions. I'm thankful I've always had a group of guys, whether it's a small group Bible studies or deacons here. Who knew my heart, who knew my passion.
I need every hour.
So I need to be accountable. Proper responses that you should have to your pastor. These are going to be different than your duties, which we'll be looking at next week, your responsibilities. But appreciation, again, this is a hard thing because it makes it sound like I'm God says to focus on what you like about your pastor, not what you don't like. There's a lot that you probably don't like about your other pastors. I don't know everything that happened in the Hurricane Harvey down in Houston, but I'm not a Joel Osteen fan by any means, but people are jumping all over him, not over his church, and I have no idea what happened there. I've read bits and pieces, but the world is going to look to destroy a pastor, especially someone well-known like him. Whether you like him or not, you should appreciate him. Letter B kind of goes along with that, respect. Some parents criticize their pastor regularly and then wonder why their kids don't take him seriously when he tries to warn them of spiritual danger. And I added this roasted pastor years ago to my original membership class and brought it over here when I came to Draper. Having roast pastor each Sunday with your dinner is sin. And I've had young people tell me, well, my parents said this. My parents have talked about this and talked about the church. It's a sin. And you're going to be accountable, held accountable by God if you do that. Letter C is remuneration. Your pastor should be reimbursed well for his service and his ministry. D is protection. Christians are to shelter their pastor from vicious and malicious rumors. I think I was here about a year, and I read a letter from someone outside of our church that talked about another church. If you remember this. No, I read it to another pastor. He accused me of being an alcoholic. No, when I came, one of the questions I was asked was if we had a picnic and someone brought a six-pack to the church picnic, I'd be buried in my grave. What would I do? And I said, to my Lord, something the deacons, don't wait for the pastor to do it. And I said, I don't think that should be a requirement for membership. Well, that got out in the community, and the pastor of another church said, Pastor Jacob Baptist was now. And before I'd be someone outside the church, I'd be buried outside in my grave. And go I believe if you guys heard, hopefully you would have jumped to my protection there, my defense. But that's something I'm going to do. Something I do if I hear something about the pastor.
And before I'd be a slave, I'd be buried in my grave.
Better he is remembrance.
And go home to my Lord and be free.
Obedience. We should obey our spiritual leaders.
To my Lord and be free.
Not just the pastor. Because the pastor, decisions I make,
to my Lord and be free.
We need to obey our leaders in spiritual matters. If you have an issue, please come and see me. Number four, the rewards of pastors. It says, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive an unfading crown of glory. That's the only place that that's promised. The Word of God promises us this crown. It's not
all around is fading.
Pastors pledge to you to be concerned for you as an individual. Hope you all know I love you. Hope you all know that I am concerned for you. I pray for you to be available to you when you need him. I appreciated Max calling the other day and telling about his mom. We need to know that. No, he called yesterday. I appreciate that. We need to know. I need to know if something's going on in your life. I won't repeat it unless I ask you if I can. So I asked Max, I said, can I put this on the prayer sheet? Absolutely. So I wouldn't do that unless I ask you permission. I'll be available for you. Let her see to visit you when needed, especially in times of illness. And again, keep this in white, want to circle this one. Remember, your pastor is not omniscient. We don't know everything. You must notify him when you're going to enter or leave the hospital. And in times of loss, I don't know how many times in our church in Corning, and maybe once or twice in Reading, when people, we didn't see them for a couple weeks in church, a church of 300 up there, a church of 800 in Reading, and we might not even notice they were gone for a couple weeks. Here you notice more so, if you only have 30 or 40 people.
And when I walk through fire,
but we didn't stop, didn't know what was going on, so we didn't even call them. And they'd come back 2 or 3 weeks later and say, I was in the hospital, you guys didn't come to see me. In the hospital, did let anybody know? Oh no, I didn't have visitors. But they wanted a pastor. They wanted a pastor to visit, but they assumed that we would know. Some hospitals, this one doesn't do it. They wanted more than did. If they had the church listed, they would call us. You know why? In the hospital, she's going to be working or whatever. They would let us know that. So, but not all the time. To feed you from the Word of God. I will. Letter E, to be honest and counsel, tell you what you need to hear, not necessarily what you want to hear, and respond back directly. Letter F, to pray for you, see if you find a place of ministry and service in the church. We want you to serve, we want you to be here, we want you to be part of our church, we want to see us grow together. How to help your pastor? Please do these. Circle them, underline them, write them on your forehead, I don't know, but pray for him right now. I appreciate so much what you say. I was praying about this. We went to the radio. We've been to the windmill at 10 a.m. Last year we were there. There's a woman who does all the animal characters. Have you ever seen it? Anybody been to the pen? Anybody been to the windmill? There's a woman who she was in a wheelchair. I saw her last Saturday. But she, her husband is the one who makes all the characters. He kind of runs.
He's got the whole world in his hands. And I feel no evil.
Saturday if you I see her once a year, and she said, "I pray for you every day." I tell you, that's encouraging. That, what a blessing it was. And I told our friends last week when we were there, I said hi to her. And she was really smiley and just appreciated of stopping to say hi. But I said, she prays for me every day. Please do that. Let her be. Be faithful in the service and your responsibilities. Come to church. Be here. Let her see. Volunteer to help in areas where you think you could be effective. Bring your family and friends to church. Don't stay home. Be fair in your expectations of him. Be loyal. And go to him if your feelings are hurt or if you have a problem. Don't simply walk away without talking first.
I've been held by the Savior.
People will just leave the church and not ever let us know why.
I've felt
there's others you do know why. But be careful. We are a family.
I've been
not
down
lost, not
to
mad.
The river.
We're all under Jesus Christ. He should be our authority. If you ever think we're doing something that's not scriptural, please come see me. Then we can talk to the Lord. But this is my responsibility. These are my responsibilities to the church. Certainly,
my
more so my responsibility to you.
Jesus.
To Christ. For how we do.
Thank God yesterday.
Lord, I thank you
gone.
For the call of ministry. Lord, it's certainly not something I want to do. Certainly not something I was interested in. I ran a lot of different directions before you finally there's other things I would rather have done as a job, and many things I would have chosen as a career.
I'm no stranger to the prison.
Thank you that there is no escape when you call us, we have to be obedient. The Lord is saying,
shackles and chains.
Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. Thank you for your word.
I've been freed and forgiven.
Minister for you.
I'm not going back.